The gospel story that was put before us a week ago today and the story of today are linked together in a message the church wishes to give to all of us as we come to the final part of the season of Lent. We began the season of Lent on Ash Wednesday, and in the second reading on that day, Paul the Apostle tells us that God is appealing through each of us as agents of reconciliation, and goes on to say to us that the whole purpose of the mystery of Christ, his death and his rising, is that he reconcile all of creation and bring it into union with the Father. The story of last week and the story of this week are curious in the sense that both of them are addressed to the scribes and to the Pharisees. In last week's story, the scribes and the Pharisees complain about Jesus. They say, "This man cannot be a prophet because he welcomes tax collectors and sinners, and he even eats with them." Jesus, overhearing that, goes on then to tell the story of the prodigal son. In today's gospel passage, it is the scribes and the Pharisees again who bring this woman to the temple and who stand her before Jesus and ask for Jesus to condemn her. The story of last week ends with a description of the elder son who returns from the field after having put in a hard day's work and hears from the house the sound of music and dancing and calls one of the servants and asks what it is about. And the servant says to him, "Your brother has returned. Your father has killed the fatted calf. He is so very happy to have him back, safe and sound." The elder brother was very angry, very angry, and he refused to go into the house. And his father came out to beg him. And without giving the father the opportunity to speak, the elder son said to him, "Now you listen to me. Every single day, I work for you in the fields. And never once have I ever disobeyed a command you have given me. And never have you seen fit to give me as much as a kid goat to celebrate with my friends. Now this son of yours has come back. He has wasted all of your resources. And you throw a party. You kill the fatted lamb." The father looks at the son and says, "You're always with me, and everything that I have belongs to you. But don't you get it? Your brother was dead and he is now back to life. He was lost and he is now found. We had to celebrate." Now the story ends there and we don't know what happened. We don't know if the elder brother was ever reconciled with his younger brother. We don't know if the elder son was ever reconciled with his father. And in one sense, St. Luke doesn't care about that, because the story is told for my benefit and for yours. The story is meant to put us in that spot and to invite us to examine ourselves on how vengeful we can be, how easy it is to demand retribution, and how difficult it is to reconcile. Now, the story of today is again the story of a person brought to the Lord, a person who is condemned, and Jesus is asked to condemn her as well. No place in the story does the woman ever admit that she is guilty, and no place in the story does she ever ask for the Lord's forgiveness. It's a story about condemnation. The woman is humiliated. Her life becomes the talk of the city. And those in authority want her to be publicly condemned. Jesus says simply, "I will not condemn you. Go on your way and try to avoid sin." Now, we have no idea also whatever happened to that woman. She never appears again in the scriptures. We do not know what her life was like, whether this was a turning point in life for her or not. All we know is that Jesus refused to condemn her. The season of Lent is a season in which men and women are invited to seriously look at their lives, and then all of us, with the failures that are ours, are invited to come before the Lord and to honestly acknowledge our need for reconciliation. A week from today at 2:00 in the afternoon, we'll gather for a service of forgiveness in which we will listen to the Word of God and we will examine our consciences and we will stand before God in honesty and transparency, seeking not condemnation and seeking not retribution, but seeking the mercy of the Father in last week's story and seeking the compassion of Jesus in this week's story. Knowing that the mercy of God and the compassion of Jesus bring life, and retribution and condemnation bring destruction. No one ever has entered the path of new living through the vehicle of condemnation. All of us have made new beginnings through the vehicle of mercy. And then during the first part of next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, there will be the opportunities for individual celebration of the Sacrament of Reconciliation. You know, there are tons of people who don't avail themselves of that opportunity for a variety of reasons. But one of the reasons is people don't want to be condemned. People don't want to be shamed. People don't want to have their nose rubbed into the ground. And the fear is that if I say what I need to say, I'm going to get condemned. I'm going to hear some harsh words. I'm going to be humiliated. And because of that, people will stay away. And that's very reasonable. That's very reasonable. You see, none of us is lacking an understanding of the faults that we have. I mean, that young boy who had gone off and squandered his father's money, he knew very well. In fact, he had a speech ready. I will go back to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against God and before you. I am not worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired hands. He had the whole speech laid out. He knew exactly what he had done. And so he comes home and the father runs out to greet him, and the father throws his arms around him and hugs him and tenderly kisses him. And while the kid is being smothered in his father's arms, the kid starts his speech. Father, I've sinned against God and before you. I am not worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands. And God says, shut up. I don't need to hear that garbage. Get the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and put sandals on his feet. Get the fatted calf. Slaughter it. Call together my neighbors and friends. We must celebrate. My son was dead and he has come back to life. He was lost and he is now found. Well, if there are people who really would like to celebrate the sacrament of reconciliation in a one-to-one situation, and really find it very difficult to say what it is. They've got no speech written. They find it very difficult to get out what it is that they want God's forgiveness for. They find it very difficult to confront another person and to admit that. Well, there's a way of handling that. I usually ask people three questions. Are you truly sorry for any ways in which you have acted against God or against your neighbor? And the person says yes. They say, are you also sorry for the sins you may have committed that you don't even remember now? And the person says yes. And the third question is, are you willing now, today, to begin fresh and to seek to live a life in union with God and with your neighbor? And the person says yes. And that's all the person needs to say. It's not my business what the person has done. There is no need to have a long conversation. Jesus did not ask that woman to tell her story. He said, has anyone condemned you? And she said, no. And he said, neither do I. The mercy and the goodness of God, the graciousness and the justice of God, becomes visible only in the lives of human beings. Only when human beings act as agents of reconciliation, agents that heal the rift, agents that allow the violence to cease, agents that bring persons together. It's only in that the reconciling act of God is visible. The sacrament of reconciliation Eucharistic prayer for forgiveness, acts of charity and justice, the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, these are all ways in which human beings seek reconciliation within themselves, with God, and with their neighbor. No one should ever be shamed. No one should ever be condemned. No one should ever experience retribution as he or she moves toward reconciliation with the Lord God.